Your effort is a disadvantage in terms of Christ and growing in Christ. Our weakness, our brokenness, our submission, our humility is a massive advantage for the things of Jesus Christ in our lives. Totally different and backwards from the world says. Your power is a disadvantage to seeing God's power in your life.
Hey friends, it's time for Live in the Light now, and we are in the book of 2 Corinthians, a book that Paul wrote to the people of Corinth. And right now we are learning from our series called Strength in Weakness and the Faithfulness of God When Life is Hard. Hey Robbie, today Paul takes us to the sacred classroom of suffering.
So Shannon, this topic is so important and dear to my heart because it's so prevalent throughout Scripture. It's a word that gets thrown around, but the reality is God's design for our lives 100% includes suffering. Why? Because it's where he often does his greatest work. It really is a classroom. One of the Paul's greatest things that he speaks on and his contributions, again, to our faith is how much he personally suffered, but how he saw it as God's tool and means of grace within his life. So I can only imagine for all those who are listening today, the amount of time that you find yourself in difficulty and trial. Like I know my own life, and sometimes I fight against it, but the more I read the Bible, as we'll see today, suffering, without a doubt, again, is God's design to help us to grow more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that mean there'll be times in life that are hard? Absolutely, very hard, even filled with temptation to despair, as we'll hear today, and have tremendous doubt or discouragement. And yet, if our eyes stay on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe that God is smarter than ourselves, we will eventually learn to appreciate and value the massive role of suffering within our growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we say again at the church that we're a part of, this is big girl Christianity, this is big boy Christianity, but it's very, very important. May the Lord personally and specifically and powerfully speak to you today on this very, very important topic that can really allow us to see that the most difficult times of life can often lead to our greatest delight. Lord, would you by your Spirit help that happen today? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's get right into our text right now, 2 Corinthians 1, and we will start in verse 8. Here's Pastor Robbie.
All right, let's get our Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Last week we began our journey in 2 Corinthians. It's going to take us several months to do this. If you missed it, just in case you were in Thanksgiving or something like that, we encourage you to go back and at least be familiar with the first message. And again, we're going verse by verse through this letter. Our overarching theme, as you can see, is strength in weakness. That is the key message all throughout 2 Corinthians. We're going to see it all the way through. And what we're going to do as we start to unpack 2 Corinthians is we're going to divide this letter into three main sections or three sub-series over the next several months. Each section will have a sub-theme and then represented by, again, a sub-series. So our first sub-theme, or our part one, you could say, as you can see there beside me or behind me, is called Comfort in Affliction. Part one, Comfort in Affliction. This will take us, Lord willing, through chapters 1, 2, and 3, and that'll take us right up to about Christmas or just before that. So Paul wastes no time in this letter. He wastes no time in getting to the heart of the matter. And you're like, what is the heart of the matter? Well, we've said it in some ways, but we can also say it in this way, which is this, ready? Life in Christ is hard. This just in, okay? In case you're waking up to the reality of genuine Christianity. Life in Christ is hard. Jesus promised that. The way is narrow and hard. You need to know that. You need to know that, loved ones. Jesus said that. The way is narrow and hard, and the world follows the way that is wide and Easy. There we go. We're picking it up. All right. Good, good, good. Right? So life in Christ is hard. But listen, we also learned this all the way through already. God is faithful to the end. Can I get an amen? Okay. God is faithful to the end. So we're learning this. To sincerely follow Christ, okay, or to genuinely follow Christ, we are promised affliction in life. That's important too, all over Scripture, okay? Sincerely follow, genuinely follow. Why do you keep emphasizing sincerely, genuinely? Well, because there's a lot of men and women out there who claim to be Christ followers and are super lukewarm, casual, and have no actual pursuit of Christ. That's a problem. But the biblical definition of true Christianity is we're genuinely following Christ with a cost. We genuinely put him first. We live for him and sacrifice. And that guarantees, the Bible tells us, that there's going to be affliction. However, it also guarantees us that we will experience the supernatural comfort of God, which we have learned already again in 2 Corinthians. So one thing, and this is the Apostle Paul leading us down by the Holy Spirit. One thing that becomes crystal clear of the Apostle Paul is this. He's the opposite of fluff, okay? He is the opposite of fluff. He is anti-superficial. See, what do you mean by that? Well, Paul doesn't skim puddles. He dies for pearls. He doesn't decorate the truth. He dwells in the truth. Paul knows this too, okay? So important for today. Man, people coming from different places and different levels of maturity in Christ. I'm so glad. But again, man, there's a message that's being sent to us today, which I'm super pumped about, and I pray you will be as well. Paul knows this. If the church at Corinth is gonna make it, he must cause their roots. He must disciple them deep. They must understand the truth. If they're going to make it again through the difficulties of life. Paul is insisting their roots grow deep. Why? Because without deep roots, you won't survive the storms. When the storms come in, the trees, again, without roots, without depth, they get blown away. They get tossed and thrown around. Which is why then, one of the most important factors in growing our roots deep, biblically speaking, is what? Is possessing a robust and true theology, listen, of suffering. A theology of suffering, which really is this entire letter in one way or another, strength within weakness. It's understanding the purposes of God within affliction. So what Paul does now, he takes the Corinthian church, and this is our sermon title today, into the sacred classroom of suffering. That's what Paul does. He's like, come with me. I need to teach you some very important lessons about the reality of life in Jesus Christ, because if you don't have these lessons, again, it's going to be very, very difficult to make it in the long term. Again, why does he do this? Because unless the church possesses a robust theology of suffering, again, they will not make it. It's true then. Love and listen. True now. It's true today. That's why so many, again, professing so-called Christ followers, and they're into the fluff of the world and all this lighthearted, easy believism. And then the trial comes and they get blown off and then they're gone. That happens a lot, man. Tragic, right? It's not that the Bible hasn't warned us. Jesus taught in Matthew 13 in the parable of the four soils. Jesus taught specifically the seed that falls on the rocky ground. He says, right, on the rocky ground, it's initially receive a joy. People are like, oh, yeah, the gospel, great. They receive it with joy. And it springs up a little bit, but it has no root. And then on the account, this is what Jesus says, of persecution, tribulation, it immediately falls away. See, so he's telling us this. He's telling us right now, there's lots of people, oh yeah, great, Jesus, that's gonna be good. And wait, what? There's cost? Wait, there's opposition? Wait, there's difficulty? I'm out, see ya. And there's even joy in the beginning, but then the reality sets in and immediately they fall away again because there's no root. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is building some roots for those who want to learn and for those who want to be transformed. He knows this, the Holy Spirit knows this, so he takes us into the sacred classroom of suffering. Now, like last week and this week, right? Not easy. Man, I'm excited though. Like, I believe in this with everything I have. Because church, like, listen, like life is difficult in Christ, but it's so awesome in Christ. And if we're gonna be men and women who are gonna make it to the end and endure and persevere, man, it just, this is massively important stuff. And there's so many churches that won't even go here for whatever. But what are we doing? We're going verse by verse through the Bible. That's all we're doing. Just this week we're preaching this because here it is. And next week will be whatever here where the Holy Spirit's written. This is where we are. This is where we're going. Why? Because God wrote a book. It's called the Bible. Okay? And it's been changing lives ever since he has done so. I love that. It takes the pressure off of you and me and allows us to say, okay, God, what do you want to say to us today? Here's what God wants to say to us today. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. Take a look. Verse 8. By the way, is your Bible with you today? I hope so. We're called Hope Bible Church Oakville for a reason, all right? I encourage you. Amen. We can clap for that. Amen. Amen. I haven't said that in a while. I realized that, right? Like, I love seeing other people walk into church and they got Bibles in hands, you know? You're just like, well, I use my phone. Well, this is better. Anyways, Bibles in hands. Here we go. No judgment. Not so much anyways. Anyways, 2 Corinthians 1. Bring your Bible. It's so awesome, right? Because without this, it's over, okay? Verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Wow. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Verse 10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You must also help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Wow, what a passage. Four verses. It's going to bless us, I pray, and change us as well. So four lessons today from the sacred classroom of suffering. Paul is inviting us in. Let's frame it this way. When it comes to the reality of suffering, for every genuine Christ follower, when it comes to the reality of suffering, lesson number one is this. We will face, at times, the temptation to despair. Tough first lesson. It's right here, though. When it comes to the reality of suffering, we will, at times, face the temptation to despair. Look at verse 8 again. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters. Paul's educating them. He's bringing them in. Hey, I got to make sure you know this. You got to know what? Of the affliction that we suffered or experienced in Asia, right? So he's educating them. He's teaching them. He's like, hey, we're growing in Christ. Let's get rid of the ignorance, okay? Let's not be naive. Let's make sure we understand, eyes wide open, ears open. We're hearing this. We're seeing this, okay? We experienced significant suffering and affliction when we were in Asia. We don't want you to be unaware of this. Then he goes on, he says this. For we are so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. He's like, indeed, we thought it was over. We were dead. We're going to die. That's how bad it was. So I read these verses and I'm like, man, wow. Despaired of life itself? But wait a second. Isn't this the Apostle Paul? Like, isn't this to live as Christ, to die as gain, Paul? Isn't this rejoice in the Lord always, Paul? Isn't this now to him who is able, Paul? Yeah, but it's also, he's a human being, Paul. It's also, he had moments too of incredible difficulty, including in our text, listen, despairing of life itself. Now, I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to be encouraged, but it's a very, very difficult phrase to read, despairing of life itself. Say, why would I be encouraged by that? Well, have you been tempted to despair? Okay, listen, you're not alone. The Apostle Paul himself is resonating and relating to where you are right now. You are not alone. This life is hard, yes. And at times, we will all be tempted with despair, and especially the more that we seek to serve and live at a cost for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is Paul referring to here? Despairing? We don't know what situation or event Paul is describing. Was it a life-threatening illness? Was it a very, very serious ailment that came up? Was it his thorn in the flesh later on, again, in this very letter? Maybe it was part of the brutal attacks that he faced and endured when he was stoned and left for dead. We do not know exactly what he's speaking of here, but we know it was very, very serious. When Paul says we were utterly burdened beyond our strength, very strong language here in the original. That phrase was used to describe a ship that was so overloaded and weighed down, it was barely floating, sunken. Just imagine this way, way down again in the water. It was a phrase also used to describe a pack animal that was so weighed down again with stuff upon its back that it could not get up. The burden that it was carrying, so heavy again in life. This is what the Apostle Paul again is describing. He was massively stressed and massively oppressed to the point that the burden, the weight was so great that he says again in verse 9 that we thought we received the sentence of death. He's like, he saw no way out. He was pushed to his limits and beyond. He's like, this is it. We're going to die. Despairing of life itself. Again, very, very serious description of the severity of the despair that the Apostle Paul was under, again, through this situation. So listen up. Lesson number one, this life at times will bring great hardship. To follow Jesus Christ sincerely and with sacrifice, at times, listen, we will encounter serious despair. We say this a lot around here at Hope. Align your expectations what the Bible actually teaches. The Bible is clearly teaching us that the life that we seek to live in the Lord Jesus Christ at times will be very difficult, that persecution is guaranteed, trials are guaranteed, and forms of suffering are guaranteed for those who truly put Jesus Christ first. Now, we say this all the time here. Life in Jesus Christ is harder, infinitely better. As much as we're promised difficulty, we're promised God's comfort and blessing. As much as we're promised, again, trial and things are going to be hard and narrow, we're promised the joy, the everlasting reality of fellowship with the Holy Spirit and God's comfort and grace and peace upon our lives. We're promised these things too. This is what we're learning already in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But if we come into the Christian life and these pastor guys who stand up in these churches that are just selling people on this Jesus that makes your life happy, healthy, and wealthy, man, they need to be punched in the face, okay? That is absolutely unbiblical and incorrect. Of course I'll sign up for that. Yeah, happy, healthy, and wealthy. Of course, what's not to love? And then all of a sudden, Jesus teaches Matthew 13, persecution, tribulation. Like, wait, oh, see ya, bye. And they were never truly saved in the first place. Loved ones, expectations. The expectations of what is so clearly taught in the scriptures. Now, I'm so happy too that the Lord doesn't give us examples of happy, smiley, never troubled altogether people. Aren't you happy about that? I'm really thankful for that. He gives us examples of saints that are battling it out for Jesus Christ. What does Paul say in 2 Corinthians? Sorrowful yet rejoicing. Oh, I love that. As dying, yet behold, we live. So good. That's Paul's life. Sorrowful, yet rejoicing. How can they both coexist? They can and they do. As dying, he says, and yet behold, we live. Powerful stuff. Again, last week, this week, big boy Christianity. I keep saying it. Big girl Christianity. This is for the mature in Christ. This is for those who actually want the Bible to be taught to them and to understand what it actually says. Did you know that there are, let me, before I say that, how many Psalms in Scripture? 150, okay? Did you know there are 58 lament Psalms in Scripture? 42 individual lament Psalms, 16 corporate lament Psalms. Say, well, what is a lament Psalm? A lament Psalm, by definition, expresses deep sorrow, grief, or regret. It offers up a complaint, almost like a holy complaint to the Lord. The largest category of Psalms in Scripture are lament Psalms. So what does that tell us? It tells us, listen, that the best of saints will encounter deep sorrow. The best of saints, for all of history, loved ones, 4,000 years going back, the best of saints will encounter deep sorrow. You're not alone. You're not alone. You struggle in times of sorrow and despair for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not alone. I want you to be so encouraged by that. Paul's being very vulnerable with us here in verses 8 and 9. And I really value at times, I think appropriately, being vulnerable with you guys too. I also value this. I value encouraging you with my discouragement, okay? Because I know what it's like to sit there and listen to someone. All of a sudden you realize, wait, you struggle with things too? I'm like, oh, praise God. That's so encouraging to me. So not to say, Pastor, I love when you're discouraged. But at the same time, I'm like, well, your discouragement encourages me because I'm not alone. Hey, I'm not alone. Two Christmases ago, just after Christmas, I can't fully explain this. I don't know what the heck's going on, okay? But I got to such a dark place in my mind, like such a dark, dark season. This has happened to me a couple of times in my ministry. So dark that I thought I was losing my mind. And I had very, very morbid thoughts. Like more than I remember. Like hear me when I say this, okay? But like just wanting to go to heaven. And thoughts of I just want life to be over in terms of I cannot stand this anymore, okay? Now, I never once took seriously, again, what that might lead to. Like not once. It had enough wherewithal, but the darkness was so great, the despair was so strong. And it's so interesting, when you get to these moments too, the last thing I wanted to do was say anything about it, even to my wife. Just such in a bad spot, just dark. You're just so discouraged and fighting so much despair for reasons you can't even fully explain. But you're there and you're like, what in the world is happening? And eventually you hang on, and get out of it. You look back and you're like, that was crazy town, man. What was going on? But that's happened to me more than once. Talk about feeling lonely, massively discouraged, scared. What is going on? And maybe some of you need to hear stuff like this today, because you find yourself and you would never think that Paul would say something like that, or never think that I would say something like that. Well, we do. And you know, if lesson number one ended right here, like if Paul just said this, you know, to the Corinthian church, he's like, indeed, we felt that we received the sentence of death, stop right there and said, good luck, see you later, Paul, right? Wouldn't that be so discouraging and depressing? That'd be so depressing. If he just ended it there, we receive the sentence of death. You're like, oh man, oh wow. But the very next word in verse 9, look, very next word is but. And all God's people said, but. Yeah, that's what God's people said, but. Yes. Amens are good. In this case, but is better, all right? But notice, and this takes us to lesson number two, right? Lesson number two, the reality of suffering, it is powerfully used to grow our dependence, right? So there's a but following the sentence of death. Notice verse 9. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. This is a massive principle for our lives. Like, this is so, so important. It's hard to overstate the truth in the second half of verse 9. Listen to this. It's been said that for every prayer that rises to God in prosperity, 10,000 rise to him in adversity. Think about that. For every prayer that rises to God in prosperity, 10,000 rise to him in adversity. Consider this too. One of the greatest hindrances to God's power in our lives is, one of the greatest hindrances of God's power being seen in our lives is self-reliance. The sin of self-reliance. And so God knows this perfectly, right? He knows this perfectly. He knows our most powerful posture in our life is dependence upon him. And because God loves us so much, when we're living life, we're like, I got it, I'm good, I know what I'm doing, I'm in control, blah, 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 blah. And we're all there. He's like, actually, I love you too much to let you stay there. So God, in his sovereignty and kindness, he will at times allow situations and ordain suffering and hardship and trial to break us out of our self-dependence, self-reliance, and self-will. Because self-reliance, self-dependence, self-will leads to self-destruction. Dependence upon God leads to eternal, again, refreshment and life. See, he loves us too much to let us continue to go down, again, this pathway of like, I got everything under control. I'm amazing. I'm so strong. I can do it. He's like, you cannot. And so what happens? Life gets hard. Things happen. It gets our attention. Now, it's been a while since I've quoted Charles Spurgeon. It's been at least a couple of days. No. It's been like a couple months. I'm way overdue now, okay? So let me just read this quote. It'll be on the screen for you here, too. Here's what Spurgeon said. Very, very powerful wisdom. He says this. He says, I'm afraid that all the grace that I've got out of my comfortable and easy times and happy hours might almost lie on a penny. But the good that I've received from my sorrows and pains and griefs is altogether incalculable. What do I not owe to the crucible and the furnace, the bellows that have blown up the coals, and the hand which has thrust me into the heat? I bear my witness, listen to this, that the worst days I've ever had have turned out to be my best days. In shunning a trial, we are seeking to avoid a blessing. Big boy Christianity right there. Big girl Christianity. That's for the mature in Jesus Christ. The immature are like, what? No way, man. I want ease and comfort all the time. It's like, you don't get it. You're not biblically mature. You haven't read the Bible. You don't believe what God says. But for the mature, they're like, tough, but yes, true. And even excited about it. Because what? It's suffering that breaks the stubborn will. It's suffering so often that leads us to beautiful dependence upon God. Can you identify a situation in your life that God has used to secure a greater dependence on Him? Can you identify a situation in your life in the past? Maybe you can identify a situation in your life right now that God is using to secure a greater dependence upon Him. Listen, in these moments, do not double down on pride and self-reliance. Do not double down on pride and self-reliance. Rather, surrender in submission and brokenness. Believe in the beauty of brokenness. Here's what Alistair Begg said. I heard him say this at a concert or at a conference last year. If dependence is the objective, which biblically it is, then weakness is the advantage. Read that. Look at that. If dependence is the objective, biblically it is 100%, then weakness then becomes our advantage. And in that sense, loved ones, our strength becomes a disadvantage. Biblical maturity understanding, okay? Your strength, my strength, is a disadvantage. Your will, your power, your ways, your effort is a disadvantage in terms of Christ and growing in Christ. Our weakness, our brokenness, our submission, our humility is a massive advantage for the things of Jesus Christ in our lives. Totally different and backwards from the world says. Your power is a disadvantage to seeing God's power in your life. Men, women, okay? But men, like it just, because I see this so... Man, what's the proverb that says, he who continually stiffens his neck will be broken beyond healing? Too many men, women, too many men over the years, pride sets in. No, I know, I will not bow, I will not give up, I will not surrender, I will not submit, I will not repent, I know, I do. And then all of a sudden, snap, neck broken, gone. Pride comes before the fall. Humility receives the grace of God. It's just the world's way is self-reliance. The way of God is total dependence. One more thing I want you to see in verse 9. Look at verse 9. That we would rely not on ourselves, but notice, what's the next phrase? But on God who raises the dead, on God who raises the dead. Here's Paul's secret again, eh? What? Dependence on the God of resurrection power. To rely on the God who raises the dead. Who else can raise the dead, eh? Who else can raise the dead? There's only one who raises. So I want to rely on the one who can raise the dead. Oh, that's good theology. Yes, I build my life on the only one who can raise the dead. Listen, can your best friend raise the dead? Give me a break, right? Can your favorite musician raise the dead? Hate to break it to you, not even them. Can your university professor raise the dead? Your arrogant, pompous, I shouldn't generalize professors like that, okay? Maybe there's some in the room right now, but some that are there and think they have all the answers to everything, they cannot raise the dead, okay? Can TikTok raise the dead? No, praise God, no. No. And yet, we rely on people who can do nothing and we neglect God, the only one who can raise the dead.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's Word to strengthen His people and His church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Rob, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna be-